and welcome to The Huntington Way. My name is Lenny DeCastro, and on our episode today, we have a special guest, Steve Schock.
Welcome, nice to Steve. Be here. Thank you, Lenny.
Steve began his career with an economic degree from the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. After graduation, he became a math teacher and a head football coach for the West Point Preparatory School. He and his wife, Joyce, lived and worked in New York, and they moved here in Colorado Springs in 1961. Steve founded Schock Communities, and it grown from small real estate brokerage enterprise to a major developer of commercial, residential, industrial, and mixed-use projects in multiple markets here locally in Denver, Phoenix, and Portland. He has been named Citizen of the Year by the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce. Steve's leadership has also extended to many communities and civic challenges. Welcome, Steve. Can you tell us more about your involvement in the field of education?
Thank you for this opportunity, Lenny, and thank you for your interest in education. I wish there were more people who were as concerned as you guys are about the quality of education being delivered to all of our kids, but especially kids of color. So for 30 or 40 years, maybe even 50 years, I've been very concerned about the school you mentioned, which I taught, was a private school. I'm a product of public schools, what's happened over the last 50 or 60 years has been that the quality of education that's being delivered to our kids has continued to deteriorate. And it's no small coincidence that the trajectory of performance and results that are generated by the system has deteriorated steadily since the teachers' unions were organized and became key to and collective bargaining was injected into the educational process. And that started about 50 or 60 years ago. And Milton Friedman, the Nobel Prize winning economist, came up with the idea of some 5 or 6 decades ago. Let me go back. The way education is funded in most states, and certainly in Colorado, and this is true of almost every state, is that money is collected, real estate tax, you pay real estate taxes on your home. That money is sent to the state capital. State capital does what they do. They make sausage with those dollars. They reallocate them, and they send a fraction of those dollars mm-hmm. back to the community. They send those dollars back to the school districts on a per pupil basis. So roughly $10,000 is sent by the state to the individual school districts for each student who is registered in that district. So that means an average classroom of 25 students, there's about $250,000 allocated to each classroom. Now, that number is a little higher and lower depending upon the individual school districts, but an average of $10,000 makes the point. What Dr. Friedman and by virtue of the report card, we have tracked the performance of the school districts, not only in Colorado Springs, but through across the state, Denver, Pueblo, Douglas County, Castle Rock, Northern Colorado. The public schools continue to perform at the same general rate, which is a failure rate of 50, 60, 70%. In some cases, up to 80 and 90%. Failure rate amongst all kids. Amongst kids of color, black and brown kids generally perform at roughly half the number that describes the average performance in any individual district. So the tragedy of a 50, 60, 70, 80% failure rate across the board, across almost all districts, across all ethnicities, all grades, all communities, a failure rate of whatever it is, 50, 60, 70, 80% is exaggerated among communities of color. So I get them, I was too young for Korea, too old for Vietnam. So I missed the draft. I was 4F, so I never served in uniform military, as your husband did.
Yeah.
I did not. I've been a fighter for education reform as my way of serving a nation that's been very, very good to me, has provided phenomenal opportunity to my family and me. But I have been focused on trying to improve, and I received an extremely high quality education in New York. I was very, very fortunate. But the same quality of education is not accessible to kids in Colorado by virtue of the results, not because I say so, but because the results say so. And then I ran for office almost 40 years ago. And in the process of doing that, I studied the performance of the state of Colorado in various areas in which state government's involved, higher education, K-12, healthcare, corrections, et cetera, et cetera. When I got to K-12, the results were inexcusable. The tragedy, the failure rate was overwhelming. So I started asking, I had no reason to really know why. I was just a regular parent with kids and sent them to the best schools we could find. This is before charters were created. So all three of my kids graduated private school because my wife and I could afford to send them to private school, and the private schools were outperforming the public schools. And so we did what any parent would do, the best we could for our mm-hmm. children. Yep. So I could afford something that most other people could not. And so in my civic activities, I decided I was going to do everything I possibly could in my political activities as a candidate. And then after I lost, I stayed involved. My goal was to do everything possible to improve the quality of education that every child, to which every child would have access. I'm often asked, what is my motivation? Mm-hmm. The same as your husband's was when he served in the military. My interests are what's best for the country, whether democracy, freedom, liberty, opportunity are going to be available for future generations. All that depends upon having an educated populace. Thomas Jefferson said 200 and whatever is 40 years ago that the quote was something to the effect, if you want freedom and liberty and a population that is not educated, you want something that never was and never will be. Mm-hmm. So I've fractured it, but that what his message was, for democracy and freedom to survive, the population must be educated. And in the 50 years I've been involved, I've seen nothing but decline. And so I do what I can to make things better. The first thing to do is make sure people are aware of how bad the results are, and then subpopulations, ethnic or racial groups that are performing at even worse level need to understand that. And my solution to all of that was going back to the earlier conversation about how education is funded, is to, instead of giving that $10,000 per student to the system, to the school districts, give that $10,000 to the parent and let the parent shop for whatever education that parent thinks is best for their individual children. So take the power away from the provider, from the state, from the school district that controls the dollars, mm-hmm. and has a monopoly. Therefore, it has no incentive, no reason. There's no consequence to the fact that they're failing at 60, 70, 80% rate, because low-income families don't have the resources I have, don't have the ability to send their child to any school other than the one to which their child is assigned in their neighborhood. So I wanted to take all that power and transfer it from the provider, from the system, from the districts, and transfer that power to the parents. So parents control that $10,000, and parents can shop for whatever school they think is best, private, public, charter, home. I'm indifferent. I'm agnostic about where they send their kids to school. I am passionate about them controlling that decision and nobody else. Wealthy people like myself who are comfortable financially, make choices and have the resources to exercise that choice. Low-income people do not. So you have a bifurcated system. You have a system that favors the haves and abuses the have-nots. And I'm trying to level up that playing field. So my response to the system that has failed so many kids is that if you cannot perform, if you can't deliver education that meets the wishes and wants of individual parents, then give them their money back, just like anybody else delivering any other kind of product would have to do, and let them decide where they want to send their kids to school. By doing it that way, you create a marketplace. You create competition. Then schools have to compete for the favor of those parents. They want that $10,000, then prove to that parent that you're going to do a good job educating that child. And that parent then will favor you with their dollars and the privilege of educating their child. Today's world, it's exactly the opposite. The system has all the power. Low-income parents have none. So when they determine their kids aren't getting the kind of education they think their kids should, they have no place to turn. They have no recourse. Which is why we set up Parents Challenge. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that later. So my mission, my goal, is to have parents control the resources that are allocated to their child's education, not the system. Only then will the system respond to their wishes. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's makes sense. Really.
Makes sense to me.
It makes sense to me, and I'm so glad that you are one of the people who would like to go make changes in the education system.
Thank you.
Because just like what we said, people or the children are our future. If we're not going to do anything today, what will happen to them if there are people who doesn't concern about that? So I am so glad for this episode that we were able to go talk to you. And then when we come back, we're going to go talk more about the Parents Challenge that Steve Shock founded together with his wife. Welcome back to Huntington Way, and I'm here with Steve Shock, and he's going to discuss to us about the Parents Challenge. So hi, welcome back.
Nice to be here. Thank you, Lani.
Okay, so Steve, can you tell us something about the Parents Challenge that you co-founded with your wife?
So as we discussed earlier, there is a failure. Public education continues to do to not educate kids as well as it could, and as well as parents should have a right to expect, and as taxpayers and as a community, we should expect. So when my wife, my late wife Joyce, and I realized, and I might parenthetically say that when Joyce was alive, she was as active in the education space as I am. She was on the Charter School Institute Board. She's on the League of Charter School Board. She started Colorado Military Academy, which is the first military charter school in Colorado. So she was very, very active herself. And when we realized how the disparity in the level of education that kids were receiving, that kids in wealthier school districts and people of means could pick and choose whichever school they could, if the school in the neighborhood in which they lived didn't do a good enough job educating their kids, they had the resources and the ability to move to a neighborhood with a better school. So they had mobility, they had choice, they could make choices. Low-income parents didn't have that opportunity and didn't have those resources. It's a long, complicated story to use up this session and 10 more, but Colorado passed legislation about 22, 23 years ago, so that would have made it about 2000, can't remember exactly, that would have taken public funds and let parents control those funds as they related to their children's education. So as we said in the earlier session, money currently goes to the school district. Mm-hmm. They spend it. Parents have minimal control over the spending of those dollars. They passed legislation that would have given that power to the parents. The teachers union sued the state of Colorado, rescinded that legislation. And my response to that was to raise private philanthropic dollars to be used for the exact same purpose that we had intended that public's dollars be used for, which was to give parents some control over where they could send their children to school. So Joyce and I went out, raised a bunch of money, and we created Parents Challenge 22 years ago, which simply gives low-income parents access to resources. First, information, so they can know what the quality of education is in the school to which their child is assigned. And then if they want something different, we give them information about alternative schools that they can choose. In many cases, they don't have the resources to relocate to that school, to transportation dollars. Mm-hmm. So Parents Challenge provides information and financial resources so that low-income parents can choose whatever school they think is best for their child. Public, traditional public, charter public, private, or home. We allocate dollars based upon what choices they make. we often have parents who are in the parents' challenge sort of family who choose different types of schools for different of their children.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have one child going to private, another one at home, another one at a charter. Because every child has individual characteristics, and where is it written that everybody should go to the same type of school and expect them to thrive? So we empower parents to make whatever choice is best for their children.
That is a great cause, and I'm so glad that you guys started it. So it's been about 22 years already. So what are your future plans from now?
Well, about 2,500 kids have received, or the parents of about 2,500 kids have received help from Parents Challenge. We do something else, Lenny, that's really important. There are about 50 programs like Parents Challenge around the country. But every one of them, without exception, every other one of them, limits the choices parents can make to private schools only. We're the only program that supports parents who send their kids to public school. And the money can be used for tutoring or transportation or activity fees. It can be used for technology in their home. We found during COVID that many low-income parents didn't have technology in their home, even though that's the way the system wanted to deliver education. So if we hadn't provided them with computers, they'd have had no way to get their kids educated. Anyway, so we provide those resources. The second thing we do, we provide the full menu of choices. The second thing we do that is unique, nobody else in the country does, we conduct about 25 or 30 parent empowerment sessions each school year to address subjects in which our parents ask to be mentored. So they identify the subjects, we bring in experts, it's free dinner, free childcare, open to the public, we videotape all the sessions, we bring in experts in whatever subject they have identified it, which they want mentoring. And it's stuff like bullying or financial literacy or how to prepare your child for college, how do you protect your child on the internet. I mean, whatever they tell us they want, we find experts, we bring them in. Sessions are open to the public, and they can go online and rewatch them if they want. Or if they miss the session, they can pick it up online. As to the future, the more money we raise, the more kids we can put on scholarship. And there are people around the United States who are interested in having a Parents Challenge chapter in their community. So we're talking to multiple communities about doing the same thing in their community that we've done in Colorado Springs. And the last thing I'll mention is we are very engaged with boards of education. That's where many of these decisions are made. That's where much of the failure is taking place, is at the school board level. So we're activating parents in how to engage with their school boards so they can have influence on what happens to their children.
That's great.
Yeah.
So parents, you have heard about Steve Schock, and if in case you want to learn more about Parents Challenge, where can we find you, Steve?
Just go to the website, Parents Challenge. I don't even know if I have the address, but just go to Google Parents Challenge.
Okay, there you go, parents. So if you want to go learn about it, go stay tuned and you can look at the link in our website. Thank you so much. We will see you next time.